Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
You've probably heard it said that preachers do, in some places, preachers do the elders' work, elders do the deacons' work, and the deacons don't know for sure what they're supposed to do. Well, that's true in some places. I'd like to think that it's not true of the Central Congregation. But I think it does indicate to us the need for a study of the work and duties of elders and the work and duty of deacons and the work and duty of preachers and those who are Bible school teachers and right on down our structure of organization. Elders need to know what God wants them to do, what their primary tasks are. And they need to be involved in that primary task. Those who are going to be appointed or those who seek the office, or who seek the duty, seek the responsibility and service as elders need to know what is involved in the work. Because I don't know how in the world they could desire the work if they don't know what the work involves. And sometimes we have a misconception of it. It's important for the congregation to know what their work is so that they don't misunderstand about it. And so the lessons are important, I think, when we talk about work and duty of elders. It's important that young men know how great the work and service as elders is so that they might become interested in preparing themselves at an early age to be God's servants as elders of a local congregation. There is no greater responsibility that rests on men than that which rests on elders. I believe it was James A. Garfield, who was an elder in the Lord's church, who upon leaving, having been elected as president, and was ready to make his journey to Washington, D.C. to take office, said, "I leave the most important work in the world to become president of the United States." He thought that the work of elder was very, very important, didn't he? It is, because it deals with the eternal destiny and souls of those who are under the charge, those who serve congregations as elders. Any man who has qualifications for the bishop and does the work is truly worthy of double honor, not because of the position or office that he holds, but because of the great work that he does as God's servant, and if he does so in a faithful way. The importance of the work and duty of elders is also seen when we think about the mission of the church. In light of the mission of the church, the elders have a tremendous responsibility. The mission of the church is, in fact, to evangelize, to spread the good message. It is the purpose of the church not to be a worshiping society, but to be an organization out of which and through which the gospel of Jesus Christ is made known to all the world. The gospel must be preached. The good message must be preached. It must be preached to those who are lost in the local community and throughout the world, beginning at home and then in the state and then in the country and then in the world. That's the way it was done in the New Testament, and that's the way we must view our work today. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." And Jesus' body is to be involved in the same work. Jesus said, "Go and teach all nations." And that was the Great Commission, a commission given to the people of God to carry out the work of God, taking the message to the whole world. The church then on the local level, overseen by elders, has a responsibility to evangelize. Evangelize in word and in deed. Evangelize the lost, and also to spread the word by word and deed to those who are in the church. To keep on teaching the truth. To keep on training and edifying the flock. To have a responsibility then in deed and in word to do that job. The gospel needs to be preached not only to the lost, but to those in the church. The faithful and the unfaithful. Those who are unfaithful, those who may have become completely apostate, and also those who have become negligent and lukewarm. The gospel then must be taught. It must be preached. It must continue to be preached. The church must be edified. It must be strengthened. It must be built up. Whose responsibility is that? It is the responsibility of the elders of a local church to see that that mission and that commission and that task is carried out. And so then in light of that mission, in light of that overall assigned and commanded task, what are the duties specifically and the work specifically of the local elders? Now, when I speak of elders today, I'm not talking about an individual elder. In as much as they have authority or power or have responsibility to make decisions, I'm talking about the group. But when I talk about character and attitude, I'm talking about the individual who makes up that group. The individual must be right in order for the group to be right, right? Obviously. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I asked Jimmy to read this because it really gives us the basis, 2 points primarily that I want to talk about today. It's found right here in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. There are two primary responsibilities, and under which we're going to talk about several facets of it. But first of all, there are to take heed unto yourselves. And then secondly, to take heed to the flock. The first is to take heed to yourselves. That's talking about you as an individual. Paul is talking to elders, and he tells them that they have a responsibility to investigate or to keep on taking heed to themselves. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we find some areas where each individual must take heed to himself. He must look within himself to see whether he is doing as God teaches him to do and is what God wants him to be. So, Paul says, take heed to yourselves. How? Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 and notice. He says, first of all, you are to not serve of constraint or willingly, but rather willingly. Notice he says, tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly. One who serves the Lord's church must do so because he wants to, not because he's coerced into it. And also, he must not serve, and he must examine his heart and mind to see that he is not serving for filthy lucre's sake, for money's sake. I have known some men, I honestly believe, that accept the responsibility or what they termed a position or office of elder because of the honor that it brought them. And hopefully that they, because they were elders in the church, might in some way earn more reputation and gain more money through their jobs. Not for filthy lucre's sake, not for money's sake, not for ill-gotten money, money that is not gained properly. Elders who were serving in the Lord's church in the New Testament were worthy of double honor. And the double honor there is the word which we might call honorarium, financial improvement or gain. The elders were supported in the local church. It is correct, it is right to serve a man who serves full-time or to help a man who helps part-time in a financial way, if there's a need there. They did in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 to 18 would indicate that. Those who served well were worthy of double honor. They were not to use the position, though, for money, or to gain money, according to Peter. So we must look at ourselves, and we must examine ourselves and take heed that we do not do what we do. We are not what we are, in order that we might improve our own lot in a financial way. Notice that he says they're to be of ready mind, eagerly and earnestly desiring to please God, is the idea of the word. He must want to learn, to lead and to serve. Notice that he says also, I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 5 now, that he is to do so neither as lording it over the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves examples to the flock. Not lording it over. Now that simply means that one is not to have a high-handed, arrogant, autocratic attitude about his work as an individual, or should they collectively have that kind of attitude? The Bible forbids men becoming elders and then lording it over with a hard and high hand over the flock. That's not what they've been appointed to do. They must not have an arrogant, domineering spirit, as characterized by Diotrephes, for instance, in 3 John. Now, one's constant self-examination ought to involve or relates to several things. These things, yes, but it ought to relate to Bible knowledge. We ought to take heed, elders, to ourselves that we make sure we know the Bible. And that means that we must keep on growing because nobody ever knows it all. We must have a good Bible knowledge. And elders need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just as every member is commanded to do in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We must take heed to ourselves, elders, with regard to character. We must look at ourselves and see if we are really what we ought to be on the inside. We must be clean before we can lead others. We must be sure that our person, our character, is such that we are one that really loves God and loves the church. That one, we are one who really loves our family, who loves the lost, and so forth. And then when it comes to not only attitude or character, but the practice then, it follows that what we are on the inside, we're going to live on the outside. And so we need to be aware also that we exemplify the kind of character that we are, that we practice the kind of things that we ought to practice, that we live the way we ought to live. Having the right character will lead us to have the right life. So then we're to be examples in faith, Bible knowledge, optimism and enthusiasm, in purity, in work, and in family life. Every elder then has the responsibility, and it's part of his duty, to look at himself and to examine himself. Why? Because Paul said, from among yourselves, some of you are going to go the wrong way and lead others up and or raise themselves up and lead others astray. Isn't that terrible? That from those good elders at Ephesus, there would be some who would, if they didn't take heed to themselves and keep on studying and keep on training and keep on developing, they would raise up and lead people astray. That's what he said. So they have a responsibility to take heed to themselves. That's one of their primary duties. Now, secondly, and this is the area we're going to deal with the most, is that an elder's job, according to Acts 20, verse 28, is to take heed to the flock over which God hath made him bishop. Take heed to the flock of God. He is to take heed to himself and take heed to the flock. Elders are to be watchful. They're to be concerned about the flock over which God has made them bishops. There are two pictures primarily here and in 1 Peter 5 of the work. There is the watchfulness of an overseer or superintendent who sees that what is done correctly. And then there is the watch care and the superintendency of a shepherd who tends and feeds the flock. Let's look first of all at the idea of bishop. In a negative way, we want to be sure that we understand that when we're talking about an overseer or a bishop, we're not talking about elders being watchdogs of the treasury. That is not the primary task of an eldership. To be watchdogs of the treasury in the sense that every nickel and every penny that is spent, they've got to know where it goes. That's not what the elders are designed to do. That's what other people that they can designate can handle. They're to oversee all of it, but they don't have to worry about every penny. They are not to worry about such things as whether to spend 50 or 75 cents for a doorstop. Let somebody else handle that they delegate to do it. They're not to be popes or tyrants over the flock, for sure. But they're to be overseers. And overseers involves the work and the members of the church. They're to oversee the work and they're to oversee the members. Everything about the church that is done is to be under their oversight. And it is to be done in such a way that it's done correctly. And they have a responsibility to see that it is done so. Overseer or episcopus in the Greek language meant the idea of ruling, contained the idea of ruling, superintending with authority over the work and people. The idea of ruling is emphasized in other passages. There are people today in the Lord's church who are teaching that elders do not have any authority whatsoever, except just as an example. But now look at these passages. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to them. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, we are to know those who are over you in the Lord. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5, in the qualifications, a bishop is to rule well his own house. For he does not rule well, if he does not rule well his own house, how can he take care of the church of our Lord? In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17, an elder who rules well is to be counted worthy of double honor. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, again in the list of qualifications, a man is to be a steward. And the word steward literally means an administrator or supervisor. Steward of what? A steward of God. In other words, of God's work. He's to be administrator of God's house. Elders then are responsible for making decisions in matters of expediency which affect the church. Now, I put that in there because I want us to understand the difference between expediency and obligatory matters. There are some things that are obligatory and elders have no right to change. For instance, an elder couldn't tell me not to preach that baptism was essential to salvation. If he did so, he'd be going beyond the authority that God had gave him. An elder couldn't teach that it was necessary that baptism was for the that it was not necessary that baptism was for remission of sins. An elder couldn't stand up and say, "Brother Doty, you can't preach the truth about this or that, because you see, I have a divine commission from God in the Scriptures to preach the truth, and elders can't change the truth." But in every truth, in every facet of carrying out the truth, there are some things that are expedience in doing it. And that's the area in which elders are obligated to function. They're obligated then to carry out the commands, and there are certain expediences which are involved in the doing of that. For instance, the building. What kind of heating system and all that kind of mess. How many preachers we're going to have, or how many song leaders we're going to have, or how many deacons there are that need to be done to carry out the work, or how many Bible school teachers we need, or how many classrooms, or what kind of material. And all of those things are expedients which the elders have the responsibility of deciding effectively and correctly that what is done correct and right. Elders then should be concerned about the views of the congregation, but they must make the final decision. As Harry Truman used to say, when it comes back to his desk, the buck stops there. Well, finally, when it comes right down to those three areas of expediency, when it gets to the eldership, the buck stops there. It is not preacher rule. It is not congregational rule. It is not women's rule. It is not deacon's rule. It is not one elder's rule. It is bishop's, an eldership, who oversees and makes those decisions. Elders then are to know the work of the church. They must try to expedite the work of the church, and they must use the members and their abilities to see that that job is done the most effective way. And also then, secondly, in this picture you have the picture of the shepherd. He is to tend the flock of God and feed the flock of God. Acts 20:28 says the bishop is to feed the flock of God, and that's the same word that occurs in 1 Peter 5, where the elders are to tend the flock. In both cases, they mean to shepherd. To shepherd involves several things. It involves things which have to do with dealing with others and how to deal with them effectively. First of all, as we look at John chapter 10, where it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, we're going to notice several things about it which will help us to be examples, elders, and for elders to be the kind of examples that they ought to be in the areas in which they must be good shepherds. For instance, they must know the flock. Jesus said that, "I know my sheep, and the flock know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me." The implication is then that the shepherd must know the flock. That means that elders must know their strengths, their weaknesses, their needs, the opportunities, their abilities. Elders need to know the flock. They've got to know them to use them effectively. And also, good shepherding, to tend the flock properly, involves leading the flock. Jesus said, "I lead them out of the fold, and they follow me. They hear my voice, and they follow me." A good shepherd leads the flock. He doesn't get behind with a stick and drive them. I find in many places that elders are behind the flock saying, "Follow me, I'm your leader, but go first." That won't work. Elders have got to lead. They've got to be shepherds. They've got to be out in front saying, "Come on and follow me, sheep. Let's go." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, we're told that we're to imitate their faith. In 1 Peter 5, they're to be good examples to us. Elders then, to be leaders of the flock, have to be good examples. In what areas? Examples in attitude. Elders must have good attitudes. Their attitude toward God ought to be one of love and trust and faith and respect. Toward the church, one of love and devotion, dedication. Toward the lost, one of love and concern and compassion. Elders ought to lead us an example as far as their personal life is concerned. Their personal life ought to be one in which they're exemplary in family life, in their work, in recreation, in leisure activities. They ought to be example in the Lord's work, How can we have a leader setting an improper example in the Lord's work? You can't. Not do an effective job. They must view the Lord's work as the most important work in the world, more important than any other work. And so then, when it comes to attendance, there's not going to be any question about whether an elder is going to be present during a gospel meeting or not. He's going to be there. Why? Because he's the leader. There's not any question about whether an elder is going to be present on Bible study morning or worship time or any other time on Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever there is a special service, because he's the leader. He's going to be there. When it comes to reverence in worship, reverence toward God, in giving, in visiting, in the work of the church, he's going to be an effective leader. A good leader, then, must be exemplary. He sees the needs, the problems, finds solutions for those needs and problems, and has a vision for the future to prevent others and so forth. He's able to make decisions on God's Word. He's able to understand and love people. And also, being an effective shepherd involves teaching the flock. The elders are to be apt to teach. They're to hold fast the faithful Word and exhort in sound doctrine and convict the gainsayer, Titus 1, verse 9. They're to speak the Word of the Lord, Hebrews 13, 7. They're admonished to faithfulness, those of us who are in the Lord's church, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 15. They're to encourage, support the weak, and being long-suffering toward all. Elders are also to have some ability, as we've already said, apt to teach, and to do some teaching. Not all of it, but some of it. And they must oversee all of it. The preaching, the Bible school, and every teaching effort should be under the oversight of the elders. Now, there are also, lastly, to be watchers, to be watching over the flock. Can you imagine a shepherd of the flock who goes off and leaves the sheep untended and unwatched and cared for, free for the wolves to run in and consume? Obviously not. A good shepherd, then, is a good watchman. He watches in behalf of our soul, Hebrews 13, verse 17, with reference to dangers without and within. He watches for those who leave the flock, that he might rescue them, like the shepherd did in the 90 and 9 and the 1, who left, and the shepherd went out and found him. The shepherd must be involved in going out and finding those who leave the flock. As you look at the book of Ezekiel, you find two pictures. Ezekiel is called a watchman, and the responsibility of a watchman is there pictured. The watchman is one who stands on the tower and watches for the enemy. He looks for the enemy, and when he finds the enemy, he warns them. And that picture is then translated to a spokesman for God. He says, I've made you a spokesman. I've made you a watchman. When you warn the wicked man of his wicked ways and he turns from his wicked ways, you've saved his soul. You've also saved yours. When you warn the wicked man and he does not turn away from his wicked ways, then his blood will be held accountable and you'll be free from sin. But if you warn him, if you do not warn him and there's evil present, then you will be accountable because you didn't shout the warning. And then the shepherd is also pictured in Ezekiel 34. I challenge you to read these. I won't have time to do it. I wish you'd go home and read Ezekiel 34. The whole chapter as it relates to shepherds of Israel and how that the shepherds were not tending the flock properly and they were not seen after the flock and they were not caring and they were not watchful. And that happens too frequently in the Lord's church. It is a fearful responsibility to be challenged to be the watchman of the people of God and the shepherd of the people of God who have a responsibility of their souls. Elders put their souls in danger when they will not watch in matters of false doctrine and wayward lives, because they shall and will give an account. The results, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, ye shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd comes, all your efforts will be rewarded. Of being a good watchman, of being a good leader, of knowing the flock, of leading the flock, of teaching the flock, and of watching for the flock. The chief shepherd, when he comes, will reward you. The work, tremendous, serious, and eternally consequential work, the work of elders. Elders are to take heed to themselves by constantly examining themselves. Elders are to take heed of the flock, which involves overseeing the flock and shepherding the flock. Because of these serious responsibilities, we must also see our relationship and treatment of them, of those elders, in a very serious light, mustn't we? And that's why the Hebrew writer says that they watch in behalf of our souls, obey them, that they may do so with gladness and not with sadness. We have a responsibility, because of their responsibility, to serve under them with gladness.